Greetings to each and every one of you on this very, very precious Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday in the year of our Lord 2020. Once again, this Sunday morning, we are coming to you by way of recorded message, and it is a privilege and a joy for us to be able to provide these recordings so that you are able to be in touch with us, but far more importantly, that you are able to share with us the word of the Lord, the time of prayer, and various announcements that we may want to share with you on a particular Sunday. This is Easter Sunday, and what a different Easter it is. However, I'm always reminded, as I think about this, Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. Father God is upon the throne. Let us rejoice and give thanks. Let us now look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Gracious Father, on this Resurrection Sunday, we come before you in prayer and intercession. We worship you. We bring adoration and praise and thanksgiving before your throne. We ask that you will bless our time together this day. We pray, Father, that you will send the Holy Spirit to anoint this hour that we share, that the people of the congregation will be blessed, and that we will be able to glorify your name even though we are together alone together, however we say it, Father, we know that we are in your presence and you are with us all. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, this is a different Easter, isn't it? In all of my years of ministry, never before have I ever celebrated an Easter alone. Well, of course, I'm with my wife, Judy, and we're together. However, we really, really miss the fellowship of the Lord's people gathering in his house. So this will be a different kind of Easter, but Easter nonetheless. Now, I want to just catch you up on a couple of thoughts before we share the scripture today. First of all, we are continuing ministry. Even though the church is closed as far as gatherings are concerned, it's very important, I believe, that we know and understand ministry continues on. In fact, it isn't just ministry as usual continuing on, but very creative ways of sharing ministry are taking place, not just at Jesus' Lord Church, but other congregations as well. I mentioned to you last week when we were together that I had called a meeting of several of our leaders in various of our councils so that we could have a representative group together to share and pray and ask about ministry in these days. And I said last week that there were several creative ideas that came forth. The one I shared with you last week was the creation of a daily devotional that would go out during Holy Week. And of course, that was done, that was completed. And we've had some very interesting comments and responses to those. And I thank you very much, and I pray that they were meaningful to you as we walk through each day of Holy Week together. Now, a second idea that I want to share this week that came out of that meeting 2 weeks ago Friday was the deep concern that the longer this closing goes on, the farther apart people are becoming in terms of relationship and working together. We wanted to ask the Holy Spirit to show us a way to bridge this time. And I believe a very creative way was given. We have appointed 5 prayer captains, or prayer shepherds, as we call them. And each of the prayer shepherds has been given 5 or 6 different families from our congregation. And the goal is to, 1, pray for each of those families every day. Each shepherd praying for each family every day. And then at least once a week, by phone, contacting each family and sharing with them, discovering if they have any needs. But most importantly of all, to gather prayer requests so that we can join together in prayer for the needs of our people. Now, of course, we've been doing this for 1 week, and again, we've had some very, very exciting responses to this ministry. I'm sure as we go on, for however long this will be, that the Holy Spirit will continue to give us insight, and we pray creative ways to continue our ministry in this very, very different and unusual way. And so we bless you this Sunday morning. We pray that as you are with your family, immediate family, celebrating the resurrection, that it will be a meaningful day for each one of you. And so now we want to once again, as we have each week, give some thoughts for our prayers together. As Scripture teaches us, first of all, we pray for all who are in authority throughout our land. Last week, I highlighted what I thought was very, very important, that we pray for the governors of each of the 50 states. Much of the responsibility for dealing with this shutdown has fallen on the shoulders of our 50 governors. And I believe they are doing a great, great work in carrying out responsibilities they've never known or realized, for which they've had no experience in the past. So we want to continue to pray for them. And to those, I would add, which we always do on Sunday morning, prayers for the mayors of cities, villages, and townships, because they too share in many ways of getting through this particular time. As I was driving to the church this morning, I saw many homes, front yards, had very beautifully made signs. These are commercially made signs. And they say, pray for nurses. And then another sign, pray for doctors. Another one says, pray for truck drivers. And this morning, as I went around the particular corner, I saw a sign that said, pray for postal workers. And that's great. We surely need to remember them. Actually, so many people are out every day, regardless of the situation that they face, serving their constituents, serving patients, serving clients, whatever you wish to call it. We are grateful to the Lord for these workers, and we pray for their safety. Of course, we're reminded that we want to pray for those suffering from the coronavirus. Those numbers become almost mind-boggling as we see daily the ticking up of both the numbers of those infected as well as, tragically, those who have passed away. And then again, I would like to ask that each of you are praying daily for our grandchildren, your grandchildren, by name before the throne, and reminding the Father of how precious they are to you. And of course, we know they are all precious to Him. So those are our chief prayer requests for today. And I turn now to the scripture lesson for Resurrection Sunday. There are four Gospels, as you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there are four accounts of the resurrection. They are all the same, and yet each of them has little differences because each writer included certain things and other writers something else. So this week, I want to read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the resurrection account from Matthew's Gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and now see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Thus far, the reading of our scripture for this Easter Sunday. As we bring you our message for this Resurrection Day, I'm reminded that it was just last Sunday, just a week ago, that we heard the powerful greeting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David, as Jesus triumphantly came into the city of Jerusalem. And now, just a week later, the cries of Hosanna give way to the greeting, the ancient greeting of the church, Jesus Christ is risen. And the people respond, He is risen indeed. For centuries, that greeting has been shared in Christian congregations over and over. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. However, this year, Easter seems so different, doesn't it? Easter seems very, very different in many ways. The most glorious festival of the entire church year, the festival of the resurrection, is not being celebrated in gatherings in churches throughout the world. And what this means is we hear no hosannas. We hear no hallelujahs. We hear no thundering organs. We listen to no magnificent choirs, nor the beautiful hymns of Easter. And there are no lilies, no crowded sanctuaries. In fact, all is silent. All is quiet, very quiet. Most unusual Resurrection Sunday in my 55 years of ministry. However, let us exchange that perspective and let us rearrange our focus. Let us see, if you will, a different vision of Easter 2020. For you see, it is still Easter Sunday morning. Jesus is still very much alive. All of his promises are absolutely true. And if you look around, you will see that grass is beginning to green. Temperatures, for the most part, are warming. Geese are flying north. Spring has come, and summer cannot be far behind. Now, those of you who are Tiger fans, Detroit Tiger fans, will recall that every year in the spring, during the month of April, the great, great, great voice of the Tigers, Ernie Harwell, by the way, as you know, a very devout Christian brother, he began his broadcast, the first broadcast, opening day of the baseball season, with these words from the Song of Solomon. These words are recorded. Chapter 2, verse 11. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Isn't that beautiful? Ernie Harwell. So therefore, today we rejoice. Father God is still on the throne. Ascension will be celebrated in 40 days. Pentecost will not delay. And the promise of the Holy Spirit, the hope of revival, and the promise of our Lord's return are all in force at this very hour. Now, as we think about the idea of a different vision for Easter, it's different than other years. strange in some ways. But during the week, I saw on one of the broadcasts a brief message by Max Licato. Now, there are numbers of you who know Max Licato. He's a pastor, but he's better known as a great, great, great author. And he was asked by one of the reporters what his take was on Easter this year. And he referenced the fact that, of course, it's going to be different. It's going to be strange for many. It will be difficult. But he pointed this out, that if you go back to the first Easter, go back to the very first Easter, there were no crowds. There were no organs or choirs. There were no filled sanctuaries. In fact, according to the scripture, there were very few at all. There were a couple of angels. There was Mary Magdalene, and as we read, the other Mary. And there was, of course, the Lord Jesus and a few others. But as far as we know from the record, those were the only people that were witness to and participant in the very first Easter celebration. So Easter this year might be more as it was originally, the first Easter. Today, our festivals, I think of Christmas and Easter and other festivals of the church year, they can become so crowded, so busy, that I think at times we miss the real thing. We miss the real importance and focus of what those festivals are about. It is possible to become so enthralled with the music and the flowers and the family celebrations, and as we think about Easter, we can think about Easter baskets, eggs, bunnies, all kinds of things, and really not focus on the central fact of Easter. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus alive, Jesus victorious, the face of victory in the midst of such unimaginable pain, sorrow, and defeat. In some ways, I believe it is like Christmas. Christmas, too, can get lost in a lot of trappings, in a lot of extras. The old Greek word for that is adiaphora, the secondary things of importance. And I recall each year at Christmas time, I hear a song on the Christian radio, and it's a song about a little boy and his mother who are going into a department store. There's a big, long, long, long line to see Santa Claus, and children, who sometimes can be a bit impatient, have to stand in line for a long while to see Santa Claus. And the little boy in this song turns to his mother, and he asks this question: Mother, where is the line to see Jesus? Where is the line to see Jesus? That has always, always stuck with me. And as I think back over Easter's 80-some in my life, I remember various Easter celebrations. I remember a lot of conversation about the dinner, about family matters, that people are together, they're talking about family situations. Sometimes there'll be a reference to the choir anthem or maybe the pastor's message. But quite frankly, very, very, very little conversation or focus upon Jesus. And yet, it's his celebration, it's his victory. We share in it, but it's a victory that he purchased for us. Different vision for Easter 2020. Now, let me carry this just a little further. As well as seeing a new perspective this year on the celebration of Easter, we are also experiencing some of the most creative, imaginative ways that the Holy Spirit has given to the church to be the church. You know, it's inconceivable that you shut down a nation, shut down nations of the world. That includes shutting down, closing churches. It's unimaginable. It's beyond our ability to comprehend the scope and the influence that all of this has and will have for some time to come. But in the midst of that, in the middle of that, I believe I am seeing the Holy Spirit giving creative ideas to church leaders, pastors, families, to do ministry in ways that they haven't thought of before. For example, today with technology, it's possible that many churches, what they call stream their worship services. Now, that takes a good bit of work and some planning, but it is happening, and people can be at home or have their iPad or whatever that's called, and they can actually see and hear the worship service as it goes on. Now, here, we're only doing recordings, not visual. Frankly, I prefer the recording because in visual communication, it's so easy to get distracted by other things, where when it's a recording, an audio recording, there's just the voice and the response, and of course, we pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But this creativity goes beyond just this. We're hearing stories about churches that bring automobiles, bring the members' cars to their church parking lot. They stay 6 feet apart, of course, open the car windows. Some pass out little song sheets, and they do a kind of hymn singing, worshiping, if you will. And occasionally, if they honk their horns. And then one that really throws me is stories of pastors who get up on stepladders to preach their sermon. You'd never find me up there. That's too scary. I wouldn't do that. But that's just the length to which some churches are going. And of course, as we said, calling and writing, outreaching people through various means, all finding creative ways to do ministry. Now, I was blessed this week to get a mailing from my dear brother Lloyd Peterson from our congregation, and he sent this along to me, and it's a reprint from the ministry of the Colson Center. And some of you here in this congregation, at least, are very familiar with the new director of the Colson Center, John Stonestreet. Chuck Colson, the founder, he's gone home to be with the Lord. And that ministry is now headed up by a gentleman called John Stonestreet. He's on the radio every day for about 5 minutes with a beautiful commentary. He's written numerous books. And he's been here in northern Michigan 3 times to do a conference on family life, culture, and Christian faith. A very, very outstanding brother in the Lord. But in this article, he wrote something that this week really stuck with me. He said that through all of this requirement to learn new ways to carry out ministry, this is what he said. We are today learning how to not just do church, but how to really be the church. Wow, I love that. We are learning today how to not just do church, but how to really be the church. Harnessing creative ideas given by the Holy Spirit to be the body of Christ in our world today. And I caught hold of that immediately because I knew that the Lord had been speaking to me in this time about the importance of carrying on ministry in these days. It's very easy for church leaders and church members, church people all across the board, to talk about church committees, church meetings, church projects, church works, all kinds of things that the church does. But very seldom do we ever talk about what it means to just be the church, being the church. Or as I have been saying for a couple of weeks, we are not here doing projects or undertakings or activities. What we're doing is we're extending the ministry. It's all about the ministry. It's not about projects or activities or meetings or writings, or it's about ministry. Jesus did not call his church together to hold meetings and conferences and all of these activities that churches find themselves involved in. He called his people together, the body of Christ, to do ministry. And to do ministry in whatever way the Holy Spirit shows that ministry is able to be done. So we have talked here this morning about a different vision for the celebration of the resurrection. Now, I want to wrap this up by sharing with you that the chief message of Easter is all about new life, victory, victory over death, victory over sin, victory over the devil. It's all about victory through Christ Jesus. And I know that there are those of you who are listening to our recording here today. Of course, we don't have any idea how many are listening, because once this gets on the web, it's possibly accessible to far more people than we know. So whoever is listening to my voice at this moment, it's all about victory. It's about the victory of Jesus Christ for the world, for his people. But dear friend, it's the victory of Jesus for you. For you. I don't know anything about your past. I do know this: we are all sinners. We are all people who have fallen short of the glory of the perfection of Almighty God. We're sinners, and sinners cannot enter into the presence of Almighty God. Therefore, before the councils of this world were laid, Father God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus made, if you will, a covenant that at the appointed time, the Son of God would take upon himself human form and actually come to earth and live as a person. And ultimately, at the appointed time, once again, he would be arrested, he would be charged, he would be condemned, and finally, he would be executed and buried in a borrowed grave. Now, we know that. But what we must this Easter, I think, grab hold of in a new way: Jesus didn't just die for the world. Jesus didn't just die for good people or religious people. Jesus died for everyone, and that includes you. That includes me. And there's no price that you and I can pay. There's no work, there's no effort that we can bring forth to merit or receive that gift of forgiveness, gift of eternal life. It cannot be bought. It cannot be acquired except through one way only. You see, Jesus literally bought you. He bought me. And the price he paid for you and for me was the price of his own shed blood. And so the price was paid. The redemption was complete, except for one step. If you were to receive someday a large, great inheritance, it would be yours. It would have been willed or bequeathed to you by a loved one, perhaps. It would have your name on it. It would legally, totally, absolutely be yours, except for one final step. And that is, you would have to put your signature to the document that you had received it. You would have to put your signature to the document. And so, even though the Lord Jesus has made provision and his Father has agreed to it, he's bought you, he's redeemed you, one step remains. You must put your name on the line and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I receive this gift. I want to be your son, your daughter. I want you to live in my heart for all eternity." And if you in any way believe this, feel this, maybe never done this before, maybe you've done it before, but it's time to renew. Easter Sunday, the new beginning, the open door of the tomb, the new vision for Easter. This is the greatest, greatest vision of all, the greatest victory of all, that you would put your name to that of the Lord Jesus and be his child. Now, an amazing thing happened yesterday, and with this I close on Easter Sunday morning. I oftentimes ask the Lord for a sign, for some footprint. Let's call it a footprint of his being with us. And as I looked around and I saw all the brown grass and stalks, last year's flowers that are still around and sticks lying all over, just not a very pretty scene in many ways, I thought this landscape around here kind of reflects the mood of the nation. You know, it's just not the same. It isn't the same explosive kind of joy and exuberance that we're accustomed to. And I was crying out to the Lord that there would be some evidence that I could share with you today. Well, as I came to the church yesterday to prepare things for this morning, I looked around at all the brown kind of mud and leaves and sticks, and just parking lot was, it's just plain ugly. That's just the way it was, just ugly. And I came and unlocked the door, and I turned over and I looked to my left. And there in the midst of all these weeds, all this debris that's left over from winter, was one clump of brilliant, bright, yellow daffodils bursting up through that debris in all their color and all their glory. The sun happened to be shining right on that area, reflected off the glass. And I looked at that and I said, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that out of the challenge, out of the pain of whatever suffering some are going through, there is always, always the hope, the vision of new life." And as I looked at those beautiful daffodils, I was reminded, if you were to ask most people, what is the primary flower to illustrate Easter, they would, I'm sure, say the Easter lily. That's by far the most popular. But all through ancient church history, another symbol that has been used to illustrate the resurrection of Christ is the daffodil. The brilliant, bright, golden yellow color. And out of the center of the blossom, that trumpet-like arrangement, it is a powerful symbol of the resurrection. And as I looked at those flowers, I said, "Well, I'm going to pick a few of those, and I'm going to bring them inside, put them in a vase of water, and put them on the table where I'm sitting. And at the close of the message, I'm going to share this vision with the folks. And as I thought about that, this scripture came to my mind. This is the resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. This is what it says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortality has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is a powerful word for Resurrection Sunday. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The victory is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the face of victory. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come this Resurrection Sunday morning with such hope and such expectation that as we celebrate a somewhat different, maybe strange, Resurrection Sunday, the truth remains. Jesus is alive. He's overcome sin, the power of the devil, and human flesh. He's overcome. He's victorious. And through his victory, we also can share in that very same victorious hope. Father, bless each one this Resurrection Sunday, and bless us fully to serve you as the Holy Spirit leads. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.